The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. That gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As a shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I think my homily is in the podium down below. That's a problem.
Down in there inside that.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. But I'm full of props today because I wanted to share something with you here. First of all, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. It's sort of like a liturgical nickname for this because there's a leitmotif. It's very explicit in the gospel of Christ referring to him. He's using an analogy of a metaphor of what it means to be a shepherd and so forth. And he's speaking about this whole thing about hearing his sheep, hearing his voice, and them recognizing, oh, that's the sheep herder. And that's who I'm going to follow. I don't know if you've had the experience maybe when you're a kid growing up and you're on the playground or something and there's a lot of other kids there screaming, shouting, and lots of things. And just like almost like from out of nowhere, you pick out the voice of your mom calling out your name. And you know that's, and you recognize it immediately, even though the decibels might be so much lower than all the rest of the noise that's out there. Because we recognize the voice of, that's my mom. Now, our Lord is saying that he does something like that for those who he calls, those who are actually his followers or are about to become his followers, recognize his voice, they identify that. I want to follow that. Because there's some truth there, there's some goodness there, there's something that we recognize as being fundamentally what we're made for, what resonates with us and what we want to follow. That's happening all the time. That's happened throughout history. But what I want to do is I want to share a chart with you here that kind of demonstrates how that's happening in a very particular way right now. I've never done this before. There we go. I didn't expect to get a laugh out of that, but I went to printmoresigns.com and came up with this just around the corner here. Okay, you only need to be able to see what the shape of the graph is. That's the only important thing that you need right now. I'm going to explain everything else for it. Make sure I don't have it upside down. Okay, good. So over here, can everyone see this pretty much? Right there. You guys forget it. I'll show you. You'll see it later. This is the year 2000. This is the year 2025. So we have a quarter century represented right here. And you said, something bad's happened in that one corner of the graph there. Well, what this graph is showing is this is the statistical data of the number of adults becoming Catholic in the United States. That's what this graph is. So you can see, starting in 2000, this was actually a historic high point. The last time it had been this high was like right after World War II, like around like 55, 56 or so. And then it went a huge big dip during the Cultural Revolution, 68, all through the 70s and 80s. It just kind of slowly climbed up. And around the year 1999, 2000 is all-time high, right here. But then what was happening? Why is it just kind of, yeah, there's a little bump, a little hump, but if this is like your stock portfolio, you'd be like, what is going on here? We need to do something about this. If this is your political approval ratings or something like that, and that's going down, 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 you're saying like, hey, we have to do something different. And we're gonna roll out a new plan, we need a new candidate, or whatever. It's like something like that. Now, I don't have to tell you what date this is right here, what year that is. You already know. That's 2020 right there. It's COVID. But what's happening is this slow deterioration of the number of people that are attracted to Catholicism. It's like there's reasons here. There's the sex abuse crisis. There's people trying, there's within the church, these movements say, okay, well, we just really need to focus on social justice and reject our white privilege and stuff like that. Maybe we do that, then more people will start coming. But it's just going down, down. It's like running into the ground. So, but what happened here? What was happening over here? It's not that we got a new pope, like you get a new CEO and the stock rises or something. No, that didn't happen until last year. And this is 2020. It was already shooting up. Wasn't a new pope. It wasn't that the Catholic Church, during this period of time back here, went dark for about 2 years and really went deep into developing a better strategy, a better plan, a better marketing and messaging, and finally we launched it during great in the depths of COVID and just boom, look how everything's going up. That's what you do in your consulting, your businesses, and it can work. Not you shouldn't do those things, but the church didn't do that. I've been here. We haven't been really fundamental, not just here, but like broadly speaking. The church hasn't fundamentally changed from 2019 to 2021 or going up. It's not that the church decided, you know what, we got to get with the times. You know, we've been trying the old traditional way and just, you know what, why don't we just change some fundamental teachings to make them more palatable to the modern palate and more marketable. You know, there's certain things we just need to let go of and we need to change those. The church didn't change squat, really. And look what was happening. It's also not that Catholicism just had its viral moment. It's having it right now. You've seen it. St. Joe's here, some other places in France. They had this ridiculous number. I forget what it was. It was something like over 20,000 adults were received in the Catholic Church in France this last Easter. And it's happening in college campuses. It's happening a lot. So, but it's not like it went viral and then all these people started coming in. No, all these people started coming in, and that's why it went viral. Because people said, what the heck's going on? What's happening? What I would like to propose is that this over here is what we do. And you can say this is kind of like what we do with our own soul, not just as a church. We do everybody as a group since it. This over here is what God does. This has not been something that people in the church cooked up and launched and it's been successful. Not at all. I'm not done. So what are the reasons here? It's What I want to just outline a couple of things and then give a challenge to you. Like, what? Why has this been happening? I talk about this a lot, about last on Easter and other moments. And it's just, to me, it's just amazing to see, because this is like the thing, as a priest now for almost 20 years, it's like I was watching that thing going down. Man, am I going to have a job when this is all, like, just watching things deteriorate. And so it just fills my heart with joy and excitement and enthusiasm to see God is doing something right now. So here are the couple ingredients that I see, and there are others, and none of these is like an absolute kind of thing. But what I hear in talking to, it's been, I've talked to just this year, probably about 100 people about their stories of why they either came back to the church or coming to the church for the first time. Other things you see it in, you listen to people's stories in just previous years, several hundred people over the last years, is just and just so much is online, you can hear. But one of the things, a couple of things that they point out time and time again of how God, what are the instruments, the occasions that God is using to have so many people return to the faith. One, beautiful churches. It's and beautiful liturgy. It's something you have to get familiar with, but it's like what the building, the physical building, the church, it's not transcendent in and of itself. This is metal, cast iron, marble, rock, things like that. But it's pointing to the transcendental. It's a pointing to something that is eternal, that is beyond the physical shapes and sizes and dimensions that we see here. It's pointing to a timeless reality that somewhere deep down in our soul we hope exists. It's pointing to something that we hope is real, and we can't see it, but fundamentally is more real than the very building that we're standing in or sitting in. So that's one thing, the beauty of the liturgy, the timelessness of it, the buildings itself. Not all the churches, some are built in other ways. And a second one is tradition, but tradition with a capital T. It's individuals are looking for something. It's not just what some guy or some lady just kind of made up because it kind of seemed like, yeah, this would be a cool thing that we could do. I mean, there's places for that. But when it comes to your religion, is that what you want? Do you want something that's just kind of, yeah, well, this kind of fits like where we are today? And it's like we're looking for something that we just don't make it up, but rather something that's deeply rooted in the Catholic Church over 2,000 years of history, but then dovetails into the many millennia prior to that in Judaism. We want a religion that can stand on its own feet and say, okay, that's serious. That's not just a passing fad. I've heard a lot of individuals talk about how they're looking for a religion, and they're not just religion shopping, that's not it. They're listening and hearing a voice call them. Let me make that clear. And they're finding showing up here. Some of you might be here for the first time, or it's just been a month or so you've been coming. Or like maybe some of this is resonating with what I'm saying here. But oftentimes they're looking for something that a religion that doesn't just match what your values are, in the sense of just, you know what, I wanted to hang out with somebody that likes the same music I love, and it's just like holding a mirror up to us, and it's just kind of this, yeah, that's me, and this is what I believe, and this is kind of what. But rather looking for something that we could, you see it and raise, okay, that's not what my values are, but I want to aspire to live and believe like that. It's like there's a call to something higher, greater, better, stronger, and we sense it that I'm not living it right now, but I don't know what it is. And then you see it, and you see it with clarity, and say, that's it. I'm not sure I can do that, but I want to. I want to at least try. I don't have anything to lose. A religion that doesn't just reflect the values of the culture today, or just a mirror spitting image of that. I mean, just walk outside. You got that all day long here in the city. It says, you want this, you want this. You just lean into whatever the values that the modern culture presents to you, and just have that and see, well, how's that working for you? Not great. I was talking to someone the other day that they had so much of, they come to New York City without any real religious background and just kind of like living the big life, had more money than they thought they'd ever have, and so he had a lot more girls than he'd have, but he was saying, yeah, but like I was sleeping around with all these girls, and I thought it was supposed to fulfill me, because that's kind of like, you know, that's what you're supposed to do, and he said, but it felt more like an addiction than it felt like a fulfillment. He's Catholic today. There's this existential unfulfillment of walking in and somehow sensing the presence of God. It's what people are looking for. And when we sense the presence of God, it's like, that's the voice I've been hearing somewhere faintly. And now I'm seeing it, I'm hearing it, I'm experiencing it, and the voice is getting stronger. I'm coming back. Those are some often the kind of reasons that we're hearing. But I want to just one last thing is that time and time again, and I guarantee you, I'd say I would be willing to bet that most don't, you don't need to raise your hands or anything, that most of you have had some kind of very concrete, specific God moment that you can point to in your life and say, that happened to me and I'm not making it up. And I was listening to someone else in a conversation last year. They were saying they used to just think about the world from this real rational kind of way, and just like God broke into their life. And now they would only think of things rationally, real scientific, analytical mind, and a real bright guy. And he was saying, but now it's like I can see like the transcendent and all this ordinary stuff. And I'm like, look at that miracle. And people are probably going to think I'm weird. But it's like we're able to start to see that God's action is actually happening, that he is real, and that he's doing things for for us personally. I'm going to guess if you're here, it's because there's things like that have happened in your life. And that's when I point to that side of the graph over here, or that uptick. That's what's happening. God is doing something right now. I don't know where it's going. I don't know exactly what all our role is. Is it going to be a hump, and then we're in for some more, just like a bump, or how high is that going to go? But what I do know is that it's up to us to take this beautiful thing that we've experienced. Now, if you're brand new, don't worry about it. You just hit Recruitment Sunday, and so just dial out, tune out for a second. But for those of you that have experienced this, and it's, you know what I'm talking about here, I think what our role is, what God is inviting, he's saying, look, I'm doing this. Jump on board. So many of those individuals, they also talk about how somebody invited them. Somebody's witnessed their testimony. Maybe it was online, but a lot of times it was a friend. A friend said, hey, I'm going to Mass on Sunday. You want to come along? Mass? Oh gosh, I haven't been there in a long time. Mass? What's that? Oh, it's this church thing. Here, come on, you'll love it. And that there's these moments when, and for some strange reason, God really likes to use people to invite other people to come and have this encounter and the experience of him. He wants to involve you in this process. So this is my challenge. I would like you to think through the people that you regularly are around. Work, could be family members, friends, and think, have I ever talked to them about my faith casually, or just dropped something out there where it's just kind of like a little cookie crumb, see if they pick it up or not, a little bait. And have I done that? Could I do that? And what I'd like to challenge you to do is actually do that sometime this week and say, and invite somebody to come to Mass. And say, yeah, and there's a wine social after. It's really cool. You'll like it. It's fun. And they, oh, okay. And they come along. And he said, well, is that easy? I thought they were going to like yell at me and tell me I'm some religious nut or something like that. Now, next week, if you come back here and said, Father, I invited 10 people and I lost 8 friends. Okay, you're doing it wrong. That's wrong. You need some coaching. You know, little, and find somebody that knows how to do it. Right. But you often it's something that's it's casual, it's light. It's like when someone asks, "Hey, how'd your weekend go?" "Oh, it was great. I went to mass in the afternoon, and I met with some friends." And it's like just dropping it in casual like that is kind of a way to allow them to respond that if they like mass, really, I didn't know you were Catholic. And, yeah, I'm Catholic, but newly Catholic, or yeah, I haven't been going a long time, but I finally started going back about 6 months ago, and it's been really really helping me. I've been feeling, it's like, it feels like right to me. So that's what I'm doing. Do you want to come? That's how you do it. Simple, casual, easy. Christ is calling souls. And sometimes he just needs a little bit of a voice coming from you or a testimony of your life in some way, of just not trying to hide it. There's another individual that I was talking to said that yeah, he found himself that when he was talking about when someone would ask him about his weekend or whatever, he would found that he was talking around the fact that he had been to church, and he said, "Why am I doing that?" And he made a resolution, "No, I'm going to stop doing that. It's not going to be easy because it's, you know, you have relationships that are kind of set as they are, and this is my pickleball guy, and these are the girls that you're running with, and we just never talk about that stuff, but just to be natural about it and just bring it up as it comes and see what God does with that." It could be that's exactly what they need to hear. And they've been just waiting, whether they knew it or not, just waiting for someone to extend that invitation. That happens a lot. So that's the challenge. Christ is calling. He's going to be using you. I guarantee it. We are not going to put a sign, well, maybe we could put a sign out front and say, "Okay, come on in, it's church." It's like, that'll go a little bit. But what really happens where God really is working is through you allowing yourself, "Lord, if you can use me, please do. If not, that's fine. If I'm too awkward, that's fine. That's all right. But if you can use me, I want to help let someone else experience the same thing I've found." God will bless that. God is going to definitely be working through that. So everyone, invite somebody to come here. We will have a big problem next week if you double in size, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.